Enjoy our next speeches soon, and make sure you check out my Instagram at Joe the Insomniac in the podcast below. I'm a 17-year-old guy currently living in Phoenix, Arizona. Shout out Arizona. This incident took place around 6 months ago on an overnight trip into the Superstition Mountains, which are about an hour drive east of Phoenix. I won't specify exactly what this trail is. Anyway, the particular trail I was taking was an 8-mile loop through a canyon. It's pretty simple in and out on an overnight trip. I planned on going with my friend, but they cancelled on me in the last minute. So, with a bag packed and a car ready to go, I decide I'm going to go on my own, not leaving the house on time, and some trouble navigating through the forest roads. I didn't arrive on the trailhead until around 5:45, which, for those of you who don't backpack, this is a very big no-no. I had about a 4-mile hike until I arrived at my planned parking spot, and it was getting dark fast. I figured if I moved very quick, I can get at least 3 miles in before I have to find a spot. This strategy left me hiking a very dark trail on my own, with about 15 miles of dirt road between me and anyone else. Hiking in the dark by itself is scary, especially since I'm on my own. Now, eventually it got so dark that I can only use my headlamp to see where I'm going. Now, with only using the headlamp as my light source and moving fast, I end up not where I want to be. This area isn't great, but I find a spot where there's some burnt pieces of wood and the remains of a circle fire, so it can't be too bad. My first priority was to get a fire going. I scanned the area around me and was able to find some dry wood, and I got a fire going. I got my tarp set up and crack open a can of chili mac. I brought it up here, and I really look forward to eating. I was feeling good. My camp was set up. My food was on fire. The feeling of uneasiness from the hike had almost gone away, but it was still there. Now, to fully understand what happened, I have to explain to you how my camp was set up. The site I had picked was a small clearing surrounded by large pine trees, with the trail about 30 feet to my left. When you're in the woods and have a fire going, and the fire casts a circle of light around it, and everything on the edge of that circle and past it are pitch black. Now I'm sitting on my ground near the fire eating my dinner, when a small rock, about the size of a marble, is actually thrown at my camp. I look at the tiny rock in shock, as I was positive that I was the only person on this trail at night. I immediately turn my light on, and towards the area that I'd seen the rock come from. But, due on the destiny of the pines and brush, I can only see about 10 feet. I spent about the next 15 minutes in disbelief as I scanned the tree line that surrounded my area, searching for whatever had thrown it, not daring to stray too far from the fire I set. It was giving me a false sense of security, to be honest. After sitting back down and spending the rest of my time on high alert, I was able to convince myself that I had somehow kicked the rock or it had fallen from a tree. I went to sleep that night, not expecting the pure terror that was about to unfold. I woke to the sound of rustling leaves, really unaudible if you weren't listening for it at the time. I'm still in a sleepy daze. I listened to the rustling of leaves, but it gets harder to hear, as I assumed they were moving away from me. I went to grab my handheld flashlight that I had next to me when I'd fallen asleep, but the more I looked, the more scared I get as I realize that it's not even there now. I don't get how. I stand up in my sleeping bag, now ducking out of my tarp. Now, I can't really see far into the woods, but I was able to see a light off in them. It couldn't have been more than 15 feet away, but it's my flashlight laying on the ground in a pile of leaves. This is one of the few moments in my life that I've almost had a heart attack. The flashlight that I'd left sitting right next to me when I'd fallen asleep a few hours ago was now 15 feet away from me, past the tree line in the woods. I hurriedly slipped my boots on, clutching my knife in my other hand and keeping my head on a swivel. I weigh my options. Stay here, wait it out, or attempt a 3-mile hike back to the car in darkness. I figured that whether or not I'm gonna get out of here, I'll definitely have a better advantage if I was out on the trail with a light. So I decide that I have to stay at my camp and remain there for the night. Eventually, it came back. I could hear it walking through the woods. It was so far off that I couldn't hear it at first. It sounded like somebody walking by, strolling around without a care in the world. Sometimes it would walk far, then near, and a few hours later do the same thing. Still faint as ever. This goes on for 3 or 4 hours until I listen to the steps getting closer until they're about 7 feet from me. At this point, the fire's got really small as I've run out of wood for it, and the footsteps stopped and everything went totally silent. I sat there still for 2 hours, clutching my knife in my hand. I pray that whatever this is can just leave me. I stay like that until the sun came through, and I can see that I'm alone in my campsite. I packed up all my things and speed walked the 3 miles back down the trail I've taken. I arrived at an empty dirt road where my car was parked and nearly sprinted to it as I unlocked my Supra. I jump in it and drove until I put at least 20 miles between me and that place. I stop at a gas station in Apche Junction to buy a Red Bull, but mostly just to see or talk to someone. As I exit the store, I was able to read what was written in the dust on the back of my window: sleep well. The hell, a lot of weird things happened to me on my various adventures through the Arizona, but this was the weirdest by far. I thought I had to share it. There's a seriously deranged person living in the Superstition Mountains. Do yourself a favor and stay as far away from them as you can. This is a story that's been really bothering me lately for absolutely no reason whatsoever. A few months back, I just had this dream that brought back this memory I tried to suppress growing up, but as of recently, it's been weighing on my mind. Growing up in 2005 on the edge of the suburbs, there was a large grove of trees and hills by some railway tracks that led to a big forest about half a mile from my home. When I was 9 years old, me and my neighborhood friends would ride our bikes to the railroad tracks. We'd walk to the forest and go and explore the random pieces of furniture and junk in this forest. We'd play card games, do homework, and hang out with friends for about 2 hours. We never stayed too long. There was this small abandoned house, and in this forest, we always stayed away from it. As one of my friends, Michael, said, there's a homeless man that lived there, and if you saw him, run. So right off the bat after hearing this, going near the house in the woods was as scary as could be. One chilly November afternoon after school, I came home and drop off my backpack at the back of my home and immediately go there. My bike is broken at the time, so I walk. Michael told me at school that apparently, this area of the forest is a really good place to play Pokemon with him. This is something we'd frequently do growing up, just to pass time until our parents got home at 4. Nothing unusual. As I crossed the railroad tracks into the forest, I instantly felt a weird sensation. That feeling when somebody's watching you. I looked all around and don't see anyone, so I thought I was getting spooked as the rather overcast day was very eerie. Trekking through the autumn leaves scattered across this large wooden area, I come across a big open area where I'm supposed to meet Michael. Near to this area that we normally meet, I find his notebook open. On the page was written, hey, I had to go back home and grab some batteries for my Game Boy. Wait for me here. I'll be back soon, Michael. And I wait. Being alone, especially feeling like somebody was watching me, made this particular moment very uncomfortable. However, I convinced myself I was just being a wuss and decided to wait for Michael. I sat down and began playing on my Game Boy. It wasn't too long until that sensation of being watched grew into utter paranoia. I kept frantically looking for my Game Boy and checking my watch. I'd been there for 30 minutes and it's starting to get dark. Then I heard some leaves crunch. I looked in the direction of the sound and briefly saw a dark hooded figure peeking from behind a few trees, then hiding back behind them. My skin crawled, and I immediately jump up from where I'm sitting, frozen in my tracks. I scream hello. I'm quickly reminded that I'm not alone, as I see this very tall, dirty looking hooded man peek from around the trees. He called back, "Hey buddy." I pick up Michael's notebook, and I ran for my life. I ran so fast, I barely had time to look behind me. However, I heard leaves crunching not too far from behind me. It's the man running for me. He was screaming for me to come back, and I just wanted to talk to you. I'm sorry. I began crying as I was running, thinking this was exactly how those kids disappear. I ran and ran and ran until I literally tripped over the railway tracks and cut my knees. Michael was just getting to the tracks. He saw me, crying, and I screamed at him to run. Without question, we ran all the way home. The hooded man was nowhere to be seen. I last saw him staring from the woods, defeated that he couldn't catch me or something, I don't know. I told Michael everything that happened and we never went back to the woods again. Years later in 2016, they bulldozed the woods and built a neighborhood there. We later found out from the fellow neighborhood friends who lived in the area the same thing would happen to them. To this day, it's probably the scariest thing that happened to me. When I was younger, I spent a lot of time living with my grandparents. I liked hanging out there because they were around all day, so I didn't feel as lonely, but of course I would get bored. They were lucky enough to own a cabin in a forest. I would often stay there. I'd bring food and just have a good time generally, or read, but of course it could be boring, and that would always lead me to explore the forest a little bit. I would never go too far out, just far enough that I could find some tranquility and enjoy myself, something that I probably didn't do often enough. Now sometimes when I'd go out on these trips, I would have the overwhelming urge to get out of the forest, or the sense that I was being followed. Normally, I thought, oh, there's probably just some animals around and I'm not really used to being out in the woods, but it was something that would continue for a long time, so much so that I actually become used to it, and I trained myself just to switch off from it, which probably wasn't a good thing, because even today, I have the problem where if I feel like I'm being watched, I don't even bat an eye at it. Now on one particular day when this happened, I was on one of my walks, and I didn't really think much of it like normal. However, there was a pungent smell that was truly overwhelming my senses. It really smelled like a dead body. I thought maybe an animal had died, but I couldn't see any. I can't ignore this, and now the paranoia sets in, as I realize that something might be watching me. I'm worried that maybe it's a dead body or something. I start returning back to the cabin. As I do, I can hear something falling through the trees. I stop dead in my track. I can see a large rock has been thrown just behind me. Now I'm certain it had been thrown there, because I never saw it before and I literally just walked there. Then I think to myself, if that rock hit me, it would have knocked me out or gave me brain damage. Just as I'm thinking that, I can see a large dark figure in the trees. The craziest part is I lock eyes with something with orange glowing eyes. Now, I don't believe in Bigfoot, but I have never seen anything like this in my life. The smell, the rock being thrown, it all makes sense. I turn and start sprinting. I'm so scared that I start to tear up while I'm running. I can hear that thing closing on me. I start screaming and praying. I make a sudden turn and now I'm only about 50 meters away from the cabin. I glance behind me and I can see the figure again, this time walking. I don't care, I keep going until I'm in the cabin and I slam the door behind me. Through teary eyes, I look out the window and I can see whatever this thing is staring back at me. It stopped as though it knows that it can't go any further. It simply turns around again and returns to the forest. I told my parents about it and my grandparents, but they don't believe me, but I know what happened that day and I've never seen anything like it. I know that the area is where the Navajo are supposed to reside, but I don't think it was a skinwalker. It's truly the most scary thing that I've ever experienced in my life. This story takes place during the summer when I was 15. I was living with my dad and stepmother at the time. I remembered my mum throwing a royal fit about me buying new school clothes because I had let a few pairs of pants get holes in them and still wore them. It was my first year going into high school and I wasn't going to let her spoil that for me, so I went to stay with my grandparents for the summer to earn money. They lived in a remote, small area that was once home to many native tribes, most prominently the Quinaloo tribe. It's very secluded despite being only a mile or so from the highway. It's all lush, gorgeous forest. My grandpa had built his own three-story house and a shop where he cut and assembled cedar into roofing products. That's where I came in, hauling heavy chunks of cedar to his van, stacking, nailing, chinking up pieces into smaller ones to be sold. I made good money while I was there, and could buy a new wardrobe. As summer was coming to an end, it was too hot to work, and I decided to walk one day. Now let me say that, I spent my childhood roaming around these woods. Armed with my grandpa's two dogs, we ran and played and napped all day, and I'd never seen anything out of the ordinary or got weird vibes. I waited until it was a bit cooler in the evening and started out, walking a little path that would take me to an old unused logging road. I had tread this path so many times that I wasn't even paying attention until I felt like I was being watched. I would like to note here that I was young at the time, and had yet to touch alcohol or drugs, and had no history of hallucinations or mental illness, so what I saw really haunts me. There he was, standing naked in the middle of the path, looking down at me with a blank expression. He was tall, maybe even 7 feet, much taller than my 5 foot nothing. He had long, long matted black and grey hair. There were tufts of it growing from the sides of his arms as well. His skin was very sticky, yellow and pale, looking too big for his stature. We made eye contact. His yellow orbs felt like they're looking into my soul. I couldn't move or think. Everything goes silent around me. The next 10 seconds or so seemed like they stretched out for an eternity. We just stood there looking at each other, before he swiftly turned and walked back into the trees. The foliage went undisturbed as he melted through it and disappeared. I honestly expected him to charge at me, or at least try and intimidate me, but he just left. I haven't seen him since either, nor am I too enthusiastic to go out looking. I remember telling my grandma about it and she said it was probably a drug addict, but something didn't seem right. I've told this story somewhere before, and it really scares me. I've tried looking into Native American folklore, especially the local stuff, but haven't found anything matching the description. I don't know if maybe it's a skinwalker or not, but it truly terrified me. This happened yesterday. My brother and I went for a hike to starve off cabin fever from self-isolation. We chose a pretty remote trail to lower the risk of coming into contact with others. I was walking ahead of my brother, and the gravel on the track was making our footsteps seem really loud. Deep in thought, I was listening to the rhythm of his footstep behind me. About 20 minutes in, I start hearing other footsteps, off faint and getting louder, until they're the same pitch as his, but they're very fast, like the rhythm of someone running. There suddenly came a halt to it, and I could hear the motion of somebody stepping on the gravel. That sudden, sharp, rocky sound you can imagine. I assumed that there must have been someone running or jogging on the track, and sure enough, I see a shadow on the other side of me appearing. It looks like somebody's head is next to mine, as though they're running behind me. I stopped, turned around to let them pass, as the track's very narrow. However, when I turned around, it was just my brother staring back at me. He was confused as to why I'd stopped. So, I asked if he was running a second ago, and he said nah. I asked if there had been anyone behind him, and he said that he wasn't aware of anyone. I thought it was strange, but just let it go and carried on. About 5 minutes later, we came around a corner, and there was this smell of pure death. It was very strong, like rotten meat. We figure it's a dead animal. We reach our hike lookout about 20 minutes later, chilled out for a bit, then headed back. We pass the death smell again, and it's around the exact same spot where it happened before. I hear the running sounds again. I ignore it, because I'm getting scared now, and we pick up the pace to get back to the car. I told my mum, and she said that it must have been a dead body, and maybe that was their spirit that you could sense. I laughed at the time, but it was more out of fear. I'm really not sure what this is, and it still haunts me to this day. I grew up in a very small rural town in Michigan. This place was so small that everybody knew everyone. My high school graduation class consisted of less than 30 people. It was a place with a very small population, but geographically, it wasn't small at all, consisting mostly of wooded areas and open fields. Houses are spread out, and nothing like what you see in the city. I mean, the nearest city was hours away. I lived on a dead-end gravel road. My neighbour's at the very end of the road, and to my left, there's about a 5-minute walk before you meet the others. You could barely see the neighbour's house through the sparse trees. To the right is another neighbour. My uncle and aunt and my favourite cousin actually live about 5 minutes away. I could only see their house if I walked to the end of my driveway. My house was the second to last one on the road, and just before my house was a really long driveway. I suppose you could call it another road, but it led directly to a house behind mine that belonged to a man I'll call Dave. Now there's a large open field, followed by another sparse tree lined, and Dave's house is behind that. I could easily see his small house perched on the top of a tiny hill in the distance. I loved growing up there. It was my favourite place in the world. My mum and dad worked in town, and my older brother, my younger sister and I were always left to our own devices growing up. We were always playing outside. My siblings and I are all born within the first half of the 90s, so we grew up during a time where there weren't really cell phones. We didn't have cable TV, just a few channels when we got an antenna. And our parents usually kicked us out of the house from sunrise to sunset, because they didn't want us being stuck indoors. Because of this, we often explored the land around the area. Being 90s babies, our parents for some reason trusted us to literally wander everywhere. Never once did they check up on us. Now the house behind us was extremely creepy. We rarely saw anyone come or go, and believe me, they were very nosy and would know if somebody was driving down the road. The upstairs bedroom window overlooked the front of the house, and my sister upstairs' window overlooks the back of the house. We also had a giant set of sliding glass doors at the back of our house that opened up to the back door porch. They were so big it practically took up the whole wall, so we literally saw everything. Despite the neighbor behind us rarely being seen going anywhere or seeing anyone show up there, we just knew he was creepy. We used to call him Creepy Dave, and still do to this day, including my parents. I can't really explain why we started to call him that, but it seems so fitting. We used to walk through the field and along the tree line towards Dave's house. We were careful not to walk all the way up the driveway. We'd usually just play near the tree line and the fields around the area. The fields are owned by a local farm, family friends or my parents, so weren't exactly trespassing onto Dave's property if we stayed just far enough down. Sometimes we would get a little brave and creeped up the road more. I can remember inside the ditches leading up to his driveway, there would be animal bones, fully intact skeletons, even a deer skull. It had all been there long enough to be pure bone. That alone was creepy enough for young kids to see. When I was in middle school, Dave married this woman. I can't remember for the life of her name, but she had two children. A daughter I'll call Lisa, and son I'll call Dustin. Now they started to ride the bus with me and my siblings to school. They always hated it when the bus drove up the eerie driveway to their house. I can remember one winter, the bus actually got stuck in the snow. The bus driver had to try and shovel us out, and while everyone was stuck waiting for the bus, I happened to look out the window at the barn near the house. It was still dark out, but just starting to turn to dawn, so the sky was bluish, but still dark, and you can see silhouettes. I kid you not, standing there on the second level of the barn, there's Creepy Dave holding a pitchfork. He's not even doing anything, he's just staring at us watching. All I can see is his outline. It frightens me so much that I turn my whole body away from the window and start tearing up a bit. My best friend sitting next to me says what's wrong, and I can't even tell her. I don't know what it was, but it scared me so badly. I don't know if anybody else saw him up there, but I still picture it. That was the last time I actually saw Dave for myself, but unfortunately, he didn't disappear fully from our lives. I used to stay up late in middle school watching movies and reading. I've always been a night owl, and sometimes my sister and I would stay up on the weekends all night watching films. One night it's very late. After 3 a.m, my sister had fallen asleep, but I was still awake. All of a sudden, we hear a very loud pounding coming from the door that led to our garage. We had a huge bay window in the living room, and a front door to the left of it. Our garage was on the right. Our window faces the driveway and we have multiple dogs, so whoever this was come from behind the house, crept into our garage so the dogs don't know. I was so scared. My sister starts crying. I started screaming for my dad. He come running out of his bedroom in his underwear holding a shotgun. He went to the door and it's Dave's wife, crying hysterically. I have no idea what happened, but my dad never even told me, and the cops show up. Over time, this happened a few more times. It got to the point where my sister and I stopped sleeping in the living room. And eventually one night, my dad told Dave's wife she needs to stop coming running to our home for help and needed to go to the other neighbors. Thinking back, I feel bad, but my dad was clearly worried about us. These occurrences stopped for a while until one morning, I walked downstairs to SWAT vans parked around the road, men in uniforms with vests and guns crouching in the backyards, and they're pointing directly towards Dave's house. I freaked out. I ran into the living room, into the front entrance, and my dad was standing there with a sheriff. The sheriff had been telling my dad that during the night, Dave held his wife and daughter at gunpoint. I'm not sure where her son was, but He hadn't been there. Eventually, this man in his drunken fit of rage blacked out and passed out, and the wife and daughter escaped. I'm still not sure which neighbor they went to, but the cops were called. Upon getting there, he actually shot at them, and that's when the SWAT was called in. I suppose sneaking through my yard across the field was their way to get an element of surprise, but hell, how is a young girl supposed to know what to do when all this is going on? They went to prison and I have no idea of the outcome, nor his family. The kids never went back to school. Apparently he's out now but never come back here. All I know is his creepy house is still there and it's been abandoned for ages. This was a few years ago during my freshman year of college. A couple weeks into school, this girl I had class with asked me if I wanted to go to a concert. She'd been given 2 tickets as a gift, and still being early in the school year, I didn't really have friends, nor did she, so we decided to go. We live in a large city, and the concert was in a small town about an hour away by train. We get to know each other on the way there, and by the time we get off the train, it's very dark. The street lamps are sparse. We're dressed in our outfits for the concert, and the venue's about a 10-minute walk away. Neither of us had ever been out of town before, and we're having some trouble using Google Maps to figure out what direction to head in. I, generally being pretty wary of strangers, am content to continue struggling with my phone map. However, my new friend decides to ask a man on the street for help. He looks like he's in his 30s, about 6 feet tall, blonde, and he's wearing a suit with no tie, and the top couple of buttons are undone. He tells us he knows where the venue is and can get us there. He says, "Do we want to walk?" Now he says, "What are our names and how old are we? And where are we from?" Not necessarily creepy, but I'm getting a bad vibe. It's dark, the streets become practically empty from the train station. We end up reaching an intersection, and he starts to turn right. I'd continued to look on Google Maps once we started walking, and having become better orientated, we're now moving. I know that we need to take a left. I say this, but he says, "Nah, you're wrong." And I say I'm looking at the map, but he says it must have gotten confused. We turn left and he continues walking with us, assuring us that now he knows where he's going. The map says a concert's up ahead, and in the distance, I can see people all heading in the same direction. Again, our guide says that this is wrong, and he starts walking into a very secluded area near the woods. My friend is starting to get worried, and looks very I'm gonna leave that in. My friend has also become suspicious, and we tell him that we're going to continue straight. He insists that the venue is through the parking lot, and when we point out to the people up ahead, he says it's a shortcut, it's much quicker. We thank him for his help and keep walking. As we leave him, he stands there in the parking lot yelling, "You guys are going to get lost. You need help." Luckily, he didn't follow us and stopped yelling once we got closer to the crowd. We got to the venue soon after, had a great time at the concert, and though I'm scared he'd be waiting for us, luckily he never found us again. I'm positive if we went into the woods, something very bad would have happened. My family and I have been hunting on the same property in East Texas for over 10 years. I love Texas. And we've had some really creepy encounters with some of the locals. This property we hunt on is timber company land. It's way off the beaten path down some dirty roads. No power, no running water, no sewer. There's only a few people that live in the area. Only scattered around some hunting camps. Our closest neighbours live in a trailer, about a mile away, and we've come to call this a meth house. Now I'm not sure if it's really a meth house, but it wouldn't be hard to believe that was happening there. Now this place has always been odd. There is a trailer sitting in the middle of a pine clearing. The brush is fairly overgrown around the trailer, almost as if the property is abandoned. There have always been broken down cars and other junk grown around the front. Cow skulls and hip bones are attached to a pine tree going up about 20 feet. It started out maybe 10, and over the 10 years has grown out to about 20. Now for a long time, the strangest thing about that place is the vibe you get. In 2017, things get weirder. The front yard collection began to grow. A rotted out taxidermy of wild hogs was added to the skull tree. A doll's head was fixed with horns onto some kind of stick in the ground, which we called the Devil Baby. There's three tripods about 12 feet high, each erected around the trailer made out of pine trunks. One day when we drove by, we noticed that from one of these tripods hung the spinal column and rib cage of we don't know what. We thought originally they were using the tripods to hang and clear deer, but the same bones have been hung there for over a year now, and someone would usually get rid of this. So, we've had no encounters with the residents and don't even know what they look like or if they actually live there long term. This place was creepy. They seemed to keep to themselves. Until later in that season, we had two creepy encounters. The first happened to my good friend. He had made a quick day trip with his wife up to the property to fill feeders and ride four-wheelers. To get to the spot, he has to get on the dirt road and drive past the meth house. His spot is only a few hundred yards away from the house. While they were doing their thing, they began to hear some strange noises. And as he listened closer, he could hear high-pitched gibberish between three voices yelling weird words in Arabic and with Jesus mixed in. They decided to get on the four-wheeler and investigate. They found two men squatted down besides a large mud pile in front of the house. They were splashing and bouncing around while furiously speaking gibberish. Once they noticed a four-wheeler, they stopped and stared like animals. My buddy quickly took off. The second encounter happened to me and my brother. We were up there alone for the weekend and were relaxing by the fire on a pitch black night after a long day's hunt. We began to hear something strange in the distance. It was pipe organ music. It wasn't a recording of a pipe organ, but somebody actually playing one. They were missing notes and sporadically starting and stopping. We laughed about how it was like something out of a horror film, but the music continues for hours. Then all of a sudden, we hear crashing through the brush. Now we're actually in a very thick area of brush. It is between our camp and the direction of our house. This doesn't sound like the usual spook deer or armadillo roaming around, or hogs even. It's made by something very large. Now the rest of the night it's quiet, and there's no more organ music, and we don't know what caused this. Now not too much has happened since then, but we've made a point never to go there alone, but to maybe one day scout it out overnight. The summer before second grade, my family and I moved into Olympia, WA. I with my parents and my older sister back then. My sister is 2 years older than me, so she would have been in the fourth grade. My sister celebrated her 10th birthday that same year by having a handful of friends over for a sleepover. We owned a trampoline back then and often had sleepovers and used the trampoline during the summer months. We lived near a forest. Now we have many fond memories of sleeping on the trampoline under the stars, but this was not one of those fond memories. Seeing as it was my sister's party, I was younger, and the annoying brother, I'm not invited to the trampoline party. I do, however, remember how the events unfolded. It all began when, around, six or so girls came fleeing inside screaming about a man in the woods. A backyard at this house was fenced off to the left and right side, but was not fenced on the back side as our backyard continued into a beautiful forest backdrop. According to the girls, as they're out on the trampoline enjoying their sleepover, a man in a yellow rain jacket appeared in the woods. The random creepy man proceeded to stand there in the woods and stare at the 6 10-year-old girls the whole time they're out there. He didn't respond to them when they attempted addressing him or even break eye contact. It was at this point that the girls were so scared, they collectively ran as fast as they could inside. After the girls relayed their experience to my parents and I, the 3 of us reached to the window to see this man. When we get to the window, all we can see is a glimpse of the yellow jacket as he disappeared further into the forest, beyond the borderline of the neighbouring fence, out of sight. My dad sprinted outside yelling at the man, threatening him, calling the police but we can't see him. My parents did call the police and filed a report, but nothing ever come of it. After this experience, our parents thought twice about letting us sleep on the trampoline at night. We ended up moving a year later. When I was quite young, maybe 9 or 10, my mum, sister, who's about 4 or 5, and I went for a walk in the forest. It was a large forest, well known for camping and having picnics, and we had walked through there many times before. The 3 of us walked for quite some time until we found a spot to have a picnic. After eating our food, we explored the various mushrooms and trees dotted around the place. When it started to roll over into late afternoon, we decided it was time to head back, and we made the walk back to the forest. There was always an eerie feeling when you're in the forest, in any forest, no matter where. When we arrived back, we're shocked to see police cars everywhere and hear sirens. We had no idea what happened, but nevertheless, we got back into our car and drove home. I was wondering what could have happened the entire night back, when finally, my questions are answered. My mum and I sat down to watch the 7 o'clock news and found out that, while we're having a picnic, the police had discovered a body buried in a shallow grave in that very forest. The reporter explained that the men involved were doing stuff with drugs and other criminal activities. As I was quite young when all this occurred, I didn't think much of it. Sure, I was creeped out, but I didn't completely understand it. Looking back now, it gives me chills thinking about it. I often wonder what would have happened if we were the ones to discover the body. I was in the kitchen the night before last, washing up some plates for dinner, when I glanced out of the window in front of the sink and saw someone standing at the far end of my own yard. From what I could tell, it looks like a man of average build, with a scruffy appearance. He was essentially behind my neighbour's tool shed, which is on the right side of the border of my property, and so I thought that he might be somebody they knew. It was dark and he was quite a distance away, so I couldn't really see what he was doing. His back was mostly turned to me, but by his movement, it looked as though he was panting at the ground with a shovel, as if he just buried something and was covering up. This raised my suspicion a bit, so I called my neighbours to ask if they're aware that somebody's behind the shed. They said they're not, and the husband went outside to investigate. I saw my neighbour open his door, and the man saw/heard it and bolts off into the woods. I went outside to meet my neighbour and see if there is evidence of what the man had been doing. So, we both arrive at the spot, and I turn to tell my neighbour that I saw a man that fled into the woods. We look down at the ground, and there's indeed fresh dirt where somebody was digging. My neighbour gets a shovel, which the man actually dropped when he ran off, and we start digging nervously. We're both expecting to find out something very gruesome, no doubt. However, what we dug up has actually left us with more questions than answers. It was a plastic bag with something softball sized and heavy. We dump out the contents, a rock, painted red with a smiley face. Why would somebody be out here trespassing to bury a painted rock in a button? And it's painted on the rock, not blood. It's not a murder weapon as far as we can tell. Still, the neighbour and I actually report this to law enforcement and they come back to take a statement. They take the rock and button, just in case it's connected to a crime. The whole ordeal has made me on edge, to be honest. Why on earth would somebody bury something like that, especially in the dark? This didn't dawn on me until I had my own children and have hence been vigilant with stranger danger. Suddenly, one day, I sat up and realised the actual danger I was in and how close I come to God knows what. I was about 10. And staying with my grandmother, something I did and loved for a week every holidays. My grandma lived in a new suburb on the outskirts of our city. Because it was new, there were a lot of new immigrants who started moving into the area. There was a wave of immigration from Lebanon due to the war there, asylum seekers. There was a very white Australia at the time, so my 10-year-old mind found those people bizarre and different. Anyway, I was sort of playing by myself with these new kids in the church parking lot near my grandma's. I was the only blonde angle out of about 20 kids my age, but they ranged up to about 12. I think that's why I may have been singled out, because I stood out. So this little girl about my age was sort of trying to play with me. She was so foreign to me with her hijab and long black dress in the 40-degree Australian summer, so I blurt out, "Why are you wearing that dress?" I was just confused by it and couldn't understand it. Then, when I look around to see if anyone heard me, I see a man stood there staring at me, whose angle. I thought at the time he heard me. I was so ashamed and thought that he might come over to speak about my potentially mean comment or tell my grandma, or even worse, ring my parents. But my 10-year-old head at the time thought that he was watching me from 10 meters away out of annoyance. He's just by a tree line, but he's been there for over 2 or 3 hours. Anyway, it starts getting dark. Everyone started to disperse for bath, dinner, and bedtime. I got up and started walking back. The man started to follow me. He followed me to my grandma's and I ran inside and shut and locked the door behind me. I was waiting for his knocks to tell my grandma my crime, but instead, nothing came. He must have changed his mind, I thought to myself, but as I took a sneak peek out of the window, I saw him go down to the side of the house. Oh no, he's gone in the back door to tell her, the shame, for nothing. Oh thank God. Just as I thought I'm about to go to bed and forget about this, I look out the window and there he was, smoking, standing under the tree line. Still weighing up whether to tell my grandma, I kept trying to sneak peeks at him and see if he's gone so I can fall asleep. I decide to go to bed. Now the next morning, my grandma runs in. Now, the fly screen is off of the windows. Now, she thinks I must have done it because they can't fall off on their own. She also said I was not to ever try and force a window open again. Now, all the wood around the windows has been chopped and broken. I said I didn't do it, and she doesn't believe me. She literally doesn't believe me in the slightest. And you know, I never connected that at the time that it was a man trying to get in. But it must have been, because it was trying to get into my window and I saw him there. I never really thought anything of it. But now I'm an adult, I'm fully aware of what could have happened and it really terrifies me. A stint of warm weather came through our area a few weeks ago, so my family and I decide to hike our local Appalachian Trail. We're 25 minutes into our hike when my wife stops abruptly as if she was spooked. with my daughter sitting in her hiking seat attached to my backpack. I slowly shift up in the direction of my wife. What we come across was a large rock off the trail that had been spray painted with a Bible scripture. It read out, Nim Nim Kitul, Usheran, Daniel 5:23-28. The urgent style with the writing and intensity is what unsettled my wife. It was just odd to see this grafted so far off the path, but, however, Appalachia attracts all walks of life. I looked up to the interpretation, and it goes, Meme, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. You have been weighed in the balances and found waiting and wanton. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. As I'm looking this up, my wife wants to keep walking and starts up the trail. I then hear cracks of branches just behind me. I just kept that interpretation to myself as I know it will really just creep out my wife. Another mile into the trail, I hear the crackle of branches behind us. In the intelligence community, there's a rule of thumb regarding being tracked by a person or car. One time it's an accident, two coincidence, three enemy action. Coincidentally, this is probably what's happening, I think, and it might just be a deer trying to follow us. So I turn around to whatever's making those noises. And in the woods off the trail, I spot what appeared to be a man crouching over messing with something in his bag. But he's whistling to himself. I thought, maybe he's just getting something and don't think much of it. But I knew that the guy had been behind us for quite some time now, because of the first time I heard the sound. Now, not even 100 feet further down the trail, yet again, I hear another rustle. Third time, I turn 180 degrees. The man's about 20 feet in front of me, adjacent to the trail. I look at him. He doesn't make eye contact, just looks sporadically at different things, from the ground beneath him, to the trees, and then to the sky. While looking to the sky, he says, the days of Babylon are numbered. I reply cold and cynically, are you lost, buddy? And I can feel the adrenaline. My ears are ringing and my heart is beating double time. Now, I'm starting to think I'll have to defend my family from a lunatic, but he mumbles, giggles, and turns into the woods, never to be seen again. So this happened last summer. It was a hot day, and I just got off work around 7 p.m. and decided to take my dog for a run in the forest preserve near my home. When you start out on the path, it's very open and near a busy street, but as you go further into the path, you are deep in the forest and surrounded by trees. The sun was starting to set at this point, but I figured I would get a quick 2 miles in so my dog could get some energy out. It was about a mile into my run when I started to hear a man just behind the trees. He hops out of nowhere with a cigarette and says, can he join me on my run? I wonder why this man is behind a tree alone. My heart starts racing and I realize that it's almost dark and no one's on the path and there's no cars around in the parking lot. I say no thank you and continue to run, trying not to look panicked. He starts to get closer to me, and my 1-year-old Staffy Pit lunges towards him. My dog is extremely playful and gets excited to see people, so lunges towards him, just wanting to pet him. However, he looks intimidating, so the guy thought he was attacking. He backs up and I start running faster down the path, and I keep looking back. I stopped out of breath and frantically called my fiance who's at work. He didn't answer. I decided I didn't want to go any further down the path and further into the forest, so wait a few minutes and go back with my phone in my hand ready to dial the police. I get to the top of the hill and see the man jumping into the passenger side of a white van, speeding off. I always think to myself, what would have happened if I didn't have my dog with me that day? This incident occurred last spring. Let me set the scene and give a bit of backstory. I was driving from Minnesota to Iowa for a music festival and decided to leave on Thursday because 1. Generally prefer road tripping at night, and 2. I wanted to get to the festival grounds as early as possible to secure a good camping spot. All is going well. I'm about 2 hours away from Des Moines and I realise I've really got to pee. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with driving long, mostly rural interstate highways, rest areas can be a godsend when the gas stations are few and far between. So, I see a sign for a rest area coming up in 2 miles. Perfect. I pull in, and there's maybe 3 other cars in the lot. Things are generally quiet, and on the first glance, nothing seems out of the ordinary or anything. However, I have just a general feeling of unease as I pull into the park. And I'm not one to ignore my instinct, but I really have the urge to pee. Luckily, my brother has just given me this taser because he knows I like to go adventures in often wooded areas, usually at night, and he wants me to be safe. So I grab it quick, just in case, and run to the bathroom. Not 30 seconds after I close my stall door, I hear someone yelling either babe or a name. It's unintelligible. Just, they're hollering at me, and I don't know what they're saying, but they sound unstable. At this point, my heart starts beating really fast, and I'm just hoping he leaves the general building. But no, I hear the main door to the woman's stall literally kick open, and of course, he comes to the only stall and starts yelling at me. He finally says something I can make out. I'm looking for my F girlfriend. So I say, I don't know you, go away. He then shouts at me, what's my name? The dude's clearly not in the right state of mind. At this point, he starts shaking my freaking stall door. So I turn on the taser and repeat, get out, before hitting the little button that makes the taser do its thing. Luckily, as I hoped, just the sound was enough for him to quickly run out. I stayed there for 10 minutes trying to regain control of my composure, and then quickly walked out to my vehicle, taser ready, and I immediately get out of there. What scares me is he almost knew what the taser sound was to immediately flee like it's happened before. I'm just so glad I had that taser because God knows what would have happened if I didn't have it on me that day. I was playing disc golf, aka frisbee golf, by myself one day, and I lost a disc in the woods. As I was looking for it, I heard a woman yell, "You're crazy," and a guy responded with something to, "You're supposed to keep your heart open. How is this keeping your heart open?" They're on the path on the other side of the trees and the woman's walking away from the guy. I heard someone walking through the woods towards me. It was a guy. When he saw me, he smiled and said, "Hey, you're Luke, aren't you?" And I said, "Nah," and said my actual name for some reason. He shook my hand and said, "What are you doing?" "Listening." I told him, "Nah, I'm looking for a disc." He was like, "Oh, you're a disc golfer, huh?" He said something along them lines, but I didn't really know what to make of it. Then he looked me in the eyes and calmly said, "You're screwed. You don't even know it. We know too much and you're screwed." It's at this point I turned, walked away, and never come back again. I've never been to that park again since.